You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Locked On Rockets. I am your new host, Jackson Gatlin, at JT Gatlin on Twitter. Producer with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship here in Houston. Now, before I dive into the topics that I'd like to cover with you today, I think it's only fair that I give you a little bit of background to myself, because, let's face it, Ben has done this podcast for about 3.25 years, 3.5 almost. And now there's this new guy coming in, and some of y'all have probably never heard of me. Now, those of you active on Rockets Twitter have probably seen me posting things and probably even saw the endorsement by Ben and by Ali Khan Bijani of The Athletic and a few others. But there's a lot of you listeners that probably don't get on Twitter, and this is your first time hearing my voice. Well, maybe not your first time hearing my voice, because I was on the pod as a guest earlier this September on a Friday roundtable with Ben, where we discussed a handful of things like the Nene contract and some other offseason tidbits, but just a very general roundtable. But again, I think it's only fair that I give you guys a little bit of background about myself so that we can get to know each other a little bit, and I look forward to getting to know all of you, the listeners, the audience, over time through Twitter, through Facebook, through all the different channels that this podcast is available on, as well as email. Now, as for my background, I am a product of the University of Houston. I am actually still attending the University of Houston. This is my final semester there. I graduate this December. Go Cougs. I have been a broadcast journalism major for a couple years now, and I have covered every sport U of H has to offer in some capacity. I wrote for the school paper for about a year and a half before picking up an internship at ESPN 97.5 here in Houston, and then I turned that internship into the producer position I now hold with Sports Talk 790. So that's a little bit about me, and obviously I wouldn't be doing this podcast if I didn't also care about the Houston Rockets. That's what this podcast is about. And my goal is to not change things drastically. I would love to keep things going in a similar fashion to how Ben has run this podcast for years. My goal is to disseminate information and to provide context to many of the goings-on of the Rockets organization. Now, I hope to do that in an entertaining way and, you know, hopefully be a bright spot for about 30 minutes in your day. Not every day right now, because it's still the off season, but with the season just 20 days away, as I talk to you at about 5 p.m. Friday, October 4th, the NBA season is right around the corner. And with the start of the NBA season, this show goes back to being a daily podcast, your daily podcast for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, without further ado, I do want to talk about the game from last night. Well, can we really call it last night? I mean, it was technically today. So, you know, the Rockets had a weird tip-off time, midnight, our time, 7 p.m. local in Honolulu. Now, in a game where three All-Stars were sitting, Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George, James Harden did put on a show, as he usually does. Finished the game, 37 points. Shooting wasn't great. Just 8 of 22, 4 of 14 from distance. He did go to the charity stripe 20 times, and he was 17 of 20 there. He also finished with, looks like, 7 rebounds and 7 assists. So another regular night in the books for James Harden, just putting in another MVP-caliber performance. Granted, preseason, sure, you could say it doesn't matter, but it's James Harden. You know, he went out there, and he was having a good time. He was happy, goofing off. He tried his one-leg three-pointer, and unfortunately, it didn't go in. I know every single listener right now is just waiting for the moment that he actually drains one of those in a game, as am I myself. It will be incredible. But right now, he's 0-2. In addition to James, the rest of the team played pretty well. They beat the Clippers by a score of 109-96. There were a few times that the Clippers themselves made some runs. The Rockets held leads as large as, I believe, like 25 points at one point. It might have been more than that. My note-taking wasn't phenomenal last night or this morning. I still haven't decided how we're going to reference this very strangely timed game. But they had some pretty big leads throughout the game, and then there were some defensive lapses where the Clippers caught back up. But at the end of the day, the Rockets came out with the win, and it's preseason basketball, so the win doesn't mean anything. But what we need to look at are some of the kind of finer details about this preseason game. Now, you might be thinking, it's preseason. What finer details are we looking at? We're looking at trends, because trends, both offensive trends, defensive trends, kind of culture trends or an identity trend for a team, those are established as early as preseason. Really, they're established even before preseason gets here. They're established throughout the offseason. They're established when the players are building chemistry, when they're having team outings, when they are just building chemistry in the offseason. But preseason is the first time we get to see it on the court. And this team is a team that is showing that it has a defensive-minded identity or a defensive culture about it, which is a refreshing change of pace from the team that we saw at the start of last season. Key additions like Thabo Sefolosha and Tyson Chandler, guys like that who are defensive-minded players and have been their whole careers, guys who are just known for getting it done on that end of the court. Adding veteran presences like them has shifted this mindset. Now, it could just be preseason and the players could just be playing extra hard because they want to make a roster spot. Sure, you can make that argument for guys like Clemens and McLemore and Blossom Game and maybe even Hartenstein or Clark to an extent, who are maybe unsure of their position on this team and whether or not they have a roster spot this season. Sure, you can make the argument for some of the younger guys that they're going to go out there and try hard no matter what because they're trying to earn a roster spot. But when you have guys like PJ Tucker going out there, Eric Gordon, Gerald Green, veteran guys who know they have a spot on the roster, and they're going out there and they're playing defense like it actually matters, that is an identity shift. Thabo Sefolosha was diving into the Rockets bench in preseason game number 2. That is leading by example. That is exactly the reason that he was brought into this team, because he is going to be making the hustle plays and he's going to be leading by example. And even though he's going to be getting what, maybe 10, 15 minutes a game, if that, he might even be on a bit of a load management type schedule like Nene and Tyson Chandler because of the Rockets' wing depth. But even if he's not playing, he has a voice on this team, and it's a voice that so many of the Rockets players already respect and others will come to respect over time. Obviously, James Harden, Russell Westbrook have had Thabo Sefolosha as a teammate before back in OKC. Clint Capella has had a wonderful relationship with Thabo for many years, going so far as to say during Rockets Media Day that he idolized Sefolosha growing up, that he said, I want to be like that guy. He watched Sefolosha as a kid playing basketball and said, I want to be like him. So there are connections all around. And I'm sure PJ Tucker is going to absolutely love not being the only really defensive-minded, gritty Rockets player. That's not a knock on any of the other current Rockets, but PJ Tucker is the only guy on the team up until the additions of Sefolosha and Chandler that really had kind of a defensive vibe. It's still a travesty that he was not selected to a defensive first or second team last year, but I digress. The Rockets are establishing a defensive culture this year. And that's the culture that wins championships. Now, in addition to the defensive shift that this team is undergoing, it appears that they're also undergoing an offensive identity shift. The Rockets have been a slow-paced team for a couple years now under Chris Paul's reign. Now, is that because of Chris Paul? Was that just his, did he just bring the overall speed of the team down that much? You can make that argument. Yeah. Chris Paul wasn't the type of guy to grab a rebound and just start hauling it in transition, looking for easy transition opportunities. He tried to, but it wasn't in his repertoire anymore. He is not the young point guard that he once was, and it's not something that he did successfully, at least not last season. There was definitely spurts of it in 2017-2018, but last season was just a completely different Chris Paul as the year waned on. Now, the Rockets have Russell Westbrook, arguably the best transition player in the game of basketball, and he hasn't even suited up for a game yet, but it appears that all the training camp practices, all the scrimmaging is working because the Rockets are playing at a faster pace. They're getting into their sets quicker, they're getting shots up quicker, they're looking for transition buckets, and yes, we are just two preseason games in. So it remains to be seen if this is a trend that will hold up come regular season. And it remains to be seen if this will hold up over time. But my best judgment is that yes, it will. Because the Rockets will likely be staggering James Harden and Russell Westbrook, just as they did James Harden and Chris Paul. See, we had James Harden, right? And James Harden, best ISO player in history. He can play that ISO ball in the half court, and that does slow down the pace of the game quite a bit. But we also had Chris Paul, past his prime Chris Paul, who was also trying to play a similar style of ISO ball like James Harden, but just couldn't hang anymore. Chris Paul could not beat his man off the dribble anymore. He oftentimes resorted to this sort of bully ball to, you know, drive into the paint and not create any separation from his man, and then drop the shoulder and at times get called for offensive fouls while doing it, just to try and create a little bit of separation. And now, on the flip side of this two-headed monster of an offense that the Rockets have, it'll be more dynamic than ever because you go from James Harden, who is very comfortable both in transition and in the half court. You'll go from him to Russell Westbrook, who is going to grab every single rebound he can get his hands on. Sorry, Clint Capella. And the moment he has that rebound, he is going to take off looking to score in transition or looking to get somebody else an easy opportunity in transition. That is an area where the Rockets desperately needed to improve. Transition points are some of the best points you can score. They're essentially freebies. If you beat your man down the court to score a transition bucket, that is huge for your team. But not only are we talking about the transition buckets, we're also talking about the overall speed of the half-court offense itself, getting into their sets quicker, looking to get the first or second good shot. Mike D'Antoni has said that the offense will look more like it did in 2016 and 2017, which a lot of us can remember. That team was really good. That team was an offensive juggernaut. Ryan Anderson starting at the four, Eric Gordon coming off the bench, James Harden doing his magic. I mean, that team could put up points in a hurry. So hearing that the Rockets are going to go back to some semblance of that 16-17 team that was so potent offensively is welcome news. Look, I like watching James Harden put up monster numbers as much as the next guy, and I love watching him break down a defender one-on-one, but the ISO ball is a little rough sometimes. It allows defenses to load up on James. It allows him to become predictable, and he's still so good that even when they send double and triple teams at him, he's still able to score and or facilitate the ball and get somebody else a shot. So knowing now that it is Mike D'Antoni's intention to increase the pace and to kind of move away from that slower, methodical style of basketball that we've become accustomed to, it's exciting. And we will hopefully be getting a look at the new look Rockets for the first time this upcoming Tuesday at 5 a.m. local time. I'm not sure what time the game will actually be over there, but it'll be 5 a.m. central time. The Rockets will be playing the Toronto Raptors in Tokyo. A pair of preseason exhibition games that should be, finally, featuring Russell Westbrook wearing Rockets red. In this last segment, I want to go ahead and talk about two guys that Ben spoke about on the last pod, but it stands to talk about them again. Chris Clemens and Ben McLemore. Now, neither of these guys had a game as nice as against the Shanghai Sharks, and for obvious reasons, they're playing against NBA caliber players now instead of CBA players. But they both still had solid games. Ben McLemore finished the game just 3 of 5 shooting, but all 5 shots were from deep, so 60%, and he was a nice plus 18 in his 22 minutes played. Snagged a couple rebounds, he did have a couple turnovers, a steal. You know, not a super impressive stat line, not something that, you know, jumps off the page at you, but you can see that he's comfortable, in this system where all he needs to worry about doing is being ready to shoot the ball the moment he touches it. He didn't get up a lot of attempts, but the shots that he took looked good, and having a pair of dead-eye shooters in Ben McLemore and Chris Clemens, who might be able to soak up some extra minutes here and there throughout the regular season. Granted, the Rockets have a really deep guard rotation from Westbrook to Harden to Rivers and then Gordon, even though Gordon's going to be starting the season, at least for now, at the three spot. It's hard to see an avenue for McLemore or Clemens getting consistent minutes, but still, having guys like that on your bench that are just bona fide shooters who can come off the bench and just put the ball in the basket, you can never have enough of those guys. Clemens had another strong game, finished with 15 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a couple turnovers, but also a couple steals. And the thing that's impressing me the most about him is his ability to pass the ball. He doesn't make flashy passes. You know, he's not going to be on a highlight reel anytime soon, but he makes smart passes. And one thing that I'm specifically noticing with him is he's making a lot of smart bounce passes. You know, that's something that is a little underrated, is just how hard it is to get a good bounce pass and to get it right to your target, especially when, let's face it, Clemens, standing at a towering 5'9", you know, is throwing bounce passes to guys much bigger than him. And he's hitting them maybe not on the dime because, again, he, you know, just finished with 3 assists. So he's not racking up a double-double quite just yet, but he's making smart passes. And that's what you want to see out of a young guy like Clemens, is you want to see progress with him. You want to see him listening to the guys around him, listening to the players around him, and following up on those suggestions, following up on that advice, and executing it on the court. And the way he plays, how he carries himself on the court, and with the poise that he has, leads me to believe that he is going to crack the roster. Now, it still remains to be seen, will he crack the roster as a two-way contract, or will the Rockets go ahead and lock him up and toss a portion of the MLE at him, a la Gary Clark and Isaiah Hartenstein? But he's going to make the team. Yes, his size may be an issue down the line, but really, at this point, he reminds me a lot of Nate Robinson. He's got the athleticism, and Nate had a great NBA career. So if Nate Robinson can do it, why not Chris Clemens? Again, is Clemens going to crack the actual rotation? No, more than likely not. Like, definitely not. But is it nice to have him as an insurance policy or as an investment in the future? Definitely. You know, the Rockets have had to give up a treasure trove of draft picks in this Russell Westbrook exchange for Chris Paul. So finding young talent like Chris Clemens and being able to hold on to him for the long term, should something happen, maybe down the line, Austin Rivers, who, yeah, he's on a 2-year deal, but with that player option on the second year, maybe he uses this year to kind of go on display, show teams what he can do, and then next offseason, maybe he goes off and finds a starting gig somewhere. Doesn't want to be the backup to Russell Westbrook and James Harden anymore. There's constantly things shifting and changing across the NBA landscape, and to be able to go ahead and lock down a guy like Chris Clemens, who has so much potential, it's an opportunity you really shouldn't pass up on. At this point, that's where I will leave things off for today on this Friday, October 4th. Bit of a shorter show today due to a mix of sleep deprivation from the strange start time of the Rockets game, as well as a general lack of anything eventful from said game. There will be a lot more to learn next week as we see the Rockets take on the Raptors in Tokyo. That game, Russell Westbrook's first appearance as a Rocket, will be chock full of analysis and being able to really get a feel for what this team is going to be like in the coming season. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. This, again, my first episode hosting Locked On Rockets. Ben will be joining me at some point next week, more than likely after the Rockets-Raptors game for that recap. Schedules permitting, he and I will probably do a joint pod that week in studio so that we both sound crystal clear and not one of us talking over a phone to the other. But if you want more content before the next show, social media is where it's all happening. I'm on there at JT Gatlin, Ben is on there at Ben DuBose, and the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Past that, there's Facebook, where the show is located, facebook.com/lockedonrockets, the website, lockedonrockets.com, and the email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. All of these are different avenues to consume content about the Rockets or ask me questions about the team. You can make suggestions for the show, place advertising inquiries, really just anything we can do to improve the experience for you, the listener. Beyond that, if you'd be kind enough to subscribe and rate the show on wherever it is that you listen to podcasts, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, anywhere that you listen to your podcasts, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. That's how you get the benefit of episodes straight to your inbox before it is published to the previously mentioned social media outlets. And we get the benefit of looking attractive to potential advertisers and keeping the business model rolling along as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. For this Friday, October 4th episode, this is where we will break. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to have you back again soon, right here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.